The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
All I ever wanted was a little love. I want true romance, it's true.
Hello and welcome to True Romance. This is Carolina Barlow.
And this is Devin Leary.
And I'm back. And I've been welcomed back onto the podcast. Which it was, you know, a humbling experience to be asked to take a week off. But I did. I learned a lot this week. I grew. I feel like I'm coming to you in a more mature. I feel like, you know, last time you heard me, I was a girl. Now you're listening to a woman.
What did you reflect on in this time?
My weight. my skin, my goal weight. Before and afters, Peloton on Reddit, you know, cleanses that cost $400 for me to potentially not do, but pay for and start doing until I feel slightly lightheaded and then immediately order a takeout.
Have you done a cleanse before?
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe you must have been around for this. There was when I lived in New York, I think I was 23. I got like a 72-hour juice cleanse or something. Like it was ridiculous. And I probably paid $180 for it. And I lasted about 8 hours. I started crying profusely, could not stop crying from, you know, hunger and, but disguised as depression and anxiety. And I then went and got Shake Shack.
Yeah. What's like the purpose of it? Because I do.
It's nothing. It's bologna. It's bologna.
Okay. I see those like weird TikTok ads all the time. And I'm like, what does that really do? Excuse me.
Okay. Can we do that one more time? I feel like our listeners are a little insulted every time they hear us yawn.
I yawn a lot. And it's actually my therapist told me that it can come from releasing truth. Yep.
Okay. I swallow guess that our one. Readers should be flattered when they hear you yawn.
They should. They should be like, oh my God, I can't believe she like trusts us with the truth about juice cleanses. But let me, since you brought up growing as a woman, I had an experience this very day today that, you know, I always complain about being single. One of my biggest triggers for singleness self-pity is if something goes wrong and I have to deal with it alone. I just, which some would say maybe that's a sign you're codependent. Maybe that's a sign you rely too heavily on your friends, family, partner. But like when something goes wrong in the home, especially I'm living alone for the first time.
In the home, when in the domestic home.
When something goes wrong in the home, like I get really, the day a cockroach shows up in this very apartment, I won't survive. Because we all know when I lived with Tess Sitzman, friend of the pod, I saw a cockroach in the shower. All I did was scream and run away from it. And Tess came out of her room, goes, what's wrong? Like, she knew, like, the tone was like, yeah, I know I'm going to have to deal with it. What's wrong? So this, when that happens here, like, I'm leaving and the elements will do what they will with that bug.
Yeah.
But what happened this weekend was something interesting. So I had a leak. Some would say when it rains, it pours. I had a leak in my shower that was because an old pipe, like, rusted, and it was like the shower was leaking every time it was on. So then that was like, I came in to the bathroom, there's water everywhere, I'm like, oh my god. So but then that gets fixed, and then because I have an amazing super who fixes things, then I
rare, by the way,
rare, and a really nice landlord, extremely rare. My landlord is
Selena Gomez
person.
Would say rare.
Selena Gomez would say rare and single soon. So I go into my bathroom yesterday, or no, 2 days ago. I'm on my way to go to my parents' house for the day, and I see there's water on the floor. I'm like, Jesus Christ does not need to be giving me these challenges. Like, I'm trying to get back up on my feet, you know? And this is something that I was talking to a friend about recently. It's like, the one thing about single life is like the roller coaster. Like, you're down in the complete dumps 1 second, and then you like match with someone hot who has like a cool job on Hinge, and you're like, and today is a brand new day. Like, you're like running on miracle dust. And so that is the one thing. It's like, last week I'm like, the flooding, the cats at the vet, the this, the that. And then this week I'm like, we gonna be all right. We gonna be all right. And then I go in my bathroom, I see this leaking. I'm like, now Jesus has gotten down on his
wow. Must be
knees.
A Monday.
I don't know what that phrase is. Now Jesus has gotten down on his knees. But what I mean by that is, yeah, a challenge was thrown my way. So I was going to my parents' house. I realized the leaking is like, it's stoppable by a little contraption that I put together. And I'm like, I'm going to have to. No, I put a contraption to like hold the part. It was like this is even a feat in and of itself. I took the time to look at the toilet. I see this is where the problem's coming from. It's like that back part. What's that thing? The back. It's like the back of the toilet was.
You're talking
pressing,
to the wrong girl.
It was pressing down on the base, and so the water from the top was coming through this little hole in the base because there was like screws loose in this hole, and I'm like, okay, I can fasten something to stop this from getting everywhere. And then I'm just going to go to my parents' house for the day. I have to use the bathroom. I'm using theirs. Okay. And so I did that. And then this morning, I'm like not hearing from the super. I like don't know what time they're going to come. And I go, listen, whoever said a little girl like you can't handle a problem like this? I get down on my hands and knees.
Much
I roll
like
up my
Jesus.
Sleeves. Much like Jesus, I roll up my sleeves and God damn it if I didn't fix my own friggin' toilet. By the way, with no tools, I don't own a tool set. I just ordered one on Amazon, figured, oh, I might as well have one. I actually think my ex-boyfriend has mine, but I'm not willing to reach out. So
smart. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Yes. There's no sarcasm when I say smart.
It was really smart. So, but I literally use my hands and knees and scissors and little contraptions to screw the base and the top of the toilet back together. And I even noticed another problem that had been happening, and I fixed that. And I said, who needs a woman? And by the way, what kind of man am I thinking in Brooklyn, New York? I'm going to like pull who's like, oh, I can fix that. They're all like, have you read The Idiot? Have you read The Idiot by Elif Botman?
That is so true. They are all saying that. And I mean that again, not sarcastically. I am very impressed. I'm humbled. I'm moved. I did not expect your story that you wanted to start off the pod with to be about you building a toilet.
I built it with my bare hands.
Wow, that's a lot. And I think that is what, this sounds like I'm joking, but that is doing things like that is what makes you confident enough to be with someone again, I think.
No, that's what I thought. I was like, this is why it's important to be single. Even though I really deeply resent this message, because I feel like people are like, you have to be single to heal and learn about yourself. And I'm like, but all you bitches who met your college sweetheart right, and now you're right. married, have you done that? Because you seem fine. You don't seem like you need help loving yourselves. So I'm like,
I think it's more, I need to know that I can fix my own toilet, that I can pee and poop by myself.
Oh, don't say that. She knew the second she said it, she shouldn't have. She goes, sorry.
Sorry. I need to know that I can do potty by myself.
Oh my God. I'm throwing myself out the window.
No, this is actually sincere. I need to know that I can sustain myself, that I don't need people. And we all need people. We all, you know, we need the super, we need the landlord, we need friends, we need family. But I need to know that I can rely on myself during a crisis to at least some extent. Because, you know, just like we rely on our friends and our family, we also do have to rely on ourselves sometimes just for strength. And I feel like I know myself as a strong person by some things I've been through. And I also relied a lot on friends and family, as Devin can attest to. But I think knowing that I'm going to be okay by myself, if, you know, whatever, I mean, we're Christian this episode, so whatever the Lord throws at me, I will be all right. I love that we're making up things from the Bible. It's like when Jesus got on his hands and knees and fixed his toilet.
He did do that. That's what's actually crazy. You think Mary fixed the toilet? No.
Nope.
Mary was one of those moms Mary was one of those moms who broke it, and then she went back to her room and she's like, Jay, I know you're not playing video games right now, Jay.
Two.
Don't make me say three. And listen, I like to picture Mary as like the mom in What's Eating Gilbert Grape. Like, she's like making everyone plan this crazy birthday party for her. And then like the day the birthday party comes, she's like, I don't even want to go outside because I'm like embarrassed because I'm fat. And it's like, listen, we all planned this party for you. Like, Ernie's here. Like, you know, I mean, Ernie's not here, but we're going to go all over the town trying to find Ernie for you. And now you don't want to celebrate your birthday?
Yeah, I mean, that was a great way of recapping the act three of What's Eating Gilbert Grape. But
that's I like the to divinity picture
Mary
story.
As Nativity. Edie Falco in The Sopranos.
Yeah, I like that too. The French manicure. Chunky jewelry.
I mean, let us not forget that she had an affair with a priest or an emotional affair.
She tried.
She's the one. Yeah.
I can totally get behind that. Like,
obviously.
That is
even
such a vibe.
James Gandolfini. Listen, if we were married, not a day would go by.
Not to promote traditional values, but the dream for me is having a husband who's doing a job a million hours a day, and I just get to do whatever the hell I want in my giant house with quote unquote traditional design, meaning Roman pillars and cheetah print pillows. And I'm like, oh, I guess another night alone. He's not coming home tonight. The happiest I've ever been in a relationship was when I was dating someone who quote unquote traveled for work. God only knows what he was doing, but he was never home. And people are always like, oh, you guys had nothing in common. How did you date? We dated for like 3.5 years because we never saw each other. That's the key. I remember those nights curling up on the couch. The whole big screen's mine. I'm throwing on my Bravo. I'm ordering in my Indian food. I'm doing what the hell I want. But the thing is, I can do that now. It just doesn't have this. It doesn't have the same effect.
No, it doesn't feel as good. It really doesn't.
It doesn't.
Because there's an absence of searching that feels so good when you're in a relationship. Like, I maybe I'm in a B- relationship. Maybe that is true, but at least I'm not out in the streets. At least I'm not out in these streets like we are right now.
Desperate streets. Carolina, you don't even know the amount I am going at this dating. My friend said the other day via text, she's like, well, at least I'm like, oh yeah, another date went horrible, but like no chemistry, fucking disappointment up the wazoo again. And she's like, well, good job putting yourself out there. I'm like, putting yourself out there is such an understatement for the way I'm approaching the world right now. Like, it's literally, I am throwing myself this way and that. I am not
throwing myself out there. Throwing myself out the window.
I am making this a lifestyle. I literally am like, I won't be able to be creative or be like an effective person until I have an ongoing, consistent crush that at least lasts a few months. Just give me that. I'm good. But I literally am like, this is my life's blood, is like throwing myself into the world. Different types of people, different, not limited by anything besides political beliefs. But like, I'm just like, no, I mean, not limited by anything besides saying something like, I'm convinced that. Hinge has that prompt that's like, I'm convinced that. And people normally put like, I'm convinced that like 10 Things I Hate About You is the best 90s rom-com. Someone puts, I'm convinced that Kanye West was not the problem. I scroll down to their stats or whatever. It says, for politics, it says not political. I'm like, you just took the most political possible stance. Like,
yeah.
Anyway, so that's the only barriers. Other than that, like, I literally will try anything. I'll go anywhere. You know, like, I'm opening my mind and I'm feel. Listen, this is the key, though. I'm opening my mind, but I'm also feeling my body. So the second someone says something weird, I have been leaving dates. I have been standing up saying, gotta go. I'm good. I have been canceling, unmatching. I have been sending people's Instagram feeds to friends saying, does this person look weird? Does this person look cringe? I have been not wasting any time. Someone said the other day, like, oh, well, they look like they could be a fun date. I go, I'm not looking for a fun date. I'm getting married to this person.
I'm getting married.
So, no, I'm not looking for, like, a fun time.
Yeah. I mean, I do want to say good job putting yourself out there. As, you know, Fleabag season 2 once said, love is not something that weak people do.
It's not, and neither is, what does your week look like? Answering that question over and over again.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, answering the question, what does your week look like, over and over again, time in and time out, having the hope that finally something will pan out in a positive way. I think the problem is that in the past, I always was just like, oh, the second someone like seems interested, great, we're moving forward. We're not going to get stopped by anything. Now I'm like paying attention to fucking red flags and like seeing how I feel. And it's really genuinely hard to find anyone. It's like you can even have a really good date, have really good chemistry, and then like that doesn't mean anything in this world. Like, that's what would happen in the past. And I'd be like, okay, great. We're like getting married. We had one good date.
Right.
Now I'm
and
just like,
I'll contort myself to what you like and don't like. And I'll sort of like be of service because I felt like it was so rare for me to meet someone that I liked that I would sort of go all in off of that. But I think, you know, not to be cheesy, but this is why we listen to love songs. This is why we watch romantic movies, because it is special, because it is rare to find someone that you feel comfortable with, that you feel like in your gut, like, I want to spend more time with this person. I feel like I'm a good, my best self around this person. I feel good, like, around this person, meaning, like, I don't feel self-conscious, because for me, that is a huge indicator in whether or not someone's a good fit, is if I feel, like, wildly insecure. Sure, some of that can be me, but some of that can also be like I don't want to be in relationships again like I did when I was very young, where I was full of self-doubt because I was in a relationship with someone who doubted me, if that makes sense.
Yeah, or just like, yeah, it's like, I totally agree. I want to be able to be my whole self. That's like the difference of when I feel, because that is something too that's like a reality, is like, yes, I've had like really good experiences on dates now, and then it still didn't pan out because of like weird red flags that came up, or I just didn't feel like logistically this person makes sense in my life. But when I've had like really good dates, it's come from like I'm being my whole self, totally, like whether that means like I'm acting really nervous and awkward, or I'm like being confident and just like funny and whatever. But I feel like I can just be myself and say what's going on in my mind. and this person makes me feel capable of that. And all of my previous relationships, especially the most problematic ones, they could only see me as like a fragmented version of myself, and they are fucking stupid idiots. How about that? How about that for a profound thought? My ex-boyfriends are stupid idiots.
I want true romance.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
I never thought I'd take my three young kids to Sicily to solve a century-old mystery. But that's what I'm doing in my new podcast, The Sicilian Inheritance. Join us as we travel thousands of miles on the beautiful and crazy island of Sicily, as I trace my roots back through a mystery for the ages and untangle clues within my family's origin story, which is morphed like a game of telephone through the generations. Was our family matriarch killed in a land deal gone wrong? Or was it by the Sicilian mafia? A lover's quarrel? Or was she, as my father believed, a witch? Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver. And this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Now, I will say something that does make it hard to believe in love is
a little television program.
A little program
that we've been dipping our foot into.
That I didn't even know. I'm on my computer. I open Netflix. I'm like, this can't be a new season of Ultimatum. We just had Queer Love. But it's Ultimatum, Marry or Move On. I love how the queer season is just called Love. Ultimatum, Queer Love. And then the straight season is Marry or Move On. And I really was thrown for a whirlwind by this, I would say, horror series.
I was burned by The Bachelorette. Even as much as I love Charity, the boredom was real. It was a very boring show. And Devin and I are always talking about what reality show to watch next. And she said, you know, there's a new season of The Ultimatum. And I sort of said, okay. And kind of the spirit of, yep, I'll watch it. I don't really have a lot of interest. I watched all of it in about 72 hours and it consumed me. I watched it with a friend who said, this is Jerry Springer. You're watching a Jerry Springer program. That is how exploitative this is.
Unfortunately, what it did come to. Yeah.
And I have a lot to say about it. I mean, for anyone who has not watched this program, it's about couples, one of whom gives the ultimatum, which is we're getting married or we're breaking up. And so they decide to go in a social experiment where they date other people, other members of couples who are either receiving or delivering an ultimatum. And they move in with them, have a trial marriage, which everyone took very seriously, calling each other my husband, my wife, calling it a trial marriage, living together, drinking out of silver goblets together. And then they would get back together with their initial partners and decide whether or not they wanted to, how they wanted to answer this ultimatum. I hope I explained that. All right.
That's perfect. So let's say who the couples are.
So we start out with what I thought was, you know, they burned hot and fast, was Brian and Lisa, who are a couple who came in. Lisa had given him the ultimatum, and obviously already, and a lot of this, you know, is explained later with hormones. But already Lisa's hot. She is not supposed to be there. She, as soon as Brian sits down with Rhea,
Rhea.
Sorry. As soon as Brian sits down with Rhea, another, girl, Lisa comes over, says, this is bothering me. And then proceeds to slap Brian in the face when they get up and walk away.
But wait, let me also say this. Like, so for some reason, like the whole first episode is just the couples talking to each other about like why they're doing the experiment. And I honestly was so bored at the beginning. I was like, I didn't text you until after I had like watched three episodes. Cause the first episode I was like, this is boring as shit. But Brian and Lisa, when I watched their first intro together, I was like, oh my God, she is way too good for him. Why is he taking her for granted? Like, she seems so reasonable, beautiful. She loves him. She wants to be with him. And she's like, I just love our connection together. Like, I just love our time together. And he's like, I do too. And she's like, so then why wouldn't we get married? Like, all our friends are. And he's like, I'm just not ready. And I was like, what a fucking doofus for not being ready. Then literally the second He clearly doesn't even care about the experiment. He's like not trying to, it's not like he's like, I'm like trying to hook up with other girls when I have this chance. Like he gives the vibe of kind of like, my girlfriend's making me do this. I don't even want to marry her, but like, I have to do this stupid thing. And she immediately comes in and she's like, what can you learn from her? What can you learn from her? And I'm like, wait, that's such an interesting thing. She's saying like, at least you could have talked to
Roxanne.
I'm like, Rhea seems like one of the more like well-adjusted, like sane people who I'm like Rhea was also brought on the show as like someone who didn't even deliver. And I'm like, she doesn't even care about this. Like she's very cool. And I love how the barometer is. I'm like, the people who don't want to be there are the actual sane ones, but it kind of is that way.
Well, except for Ryan and,
oh, I love Ryan.
I mean, I love Ryan. I meant her partner.
Yeah, he's very odd. But wait, let's stay organized because I know we're going to want to jump around.
That's true.
Okay, so then Lisa slaps Brian in the face.
She sure does.
He's like, and then in the parking lot, she says like, we're not getting married. We're not doing the experiment. Like we're fucking over. And I was like, wow, okay, they just broke up.
And I was kind of like, I can't believe more people aren't like this, because if I was seeing someone I wanted to marry in a bar talking to another woman, I mean, the fact everyone is having these physical reactions, like Rhea at one point is like, I feel like a brick sitting on my chest. The camera pans to her feet and her leg is like shaking when she's seeing her, you know, quote unquote ex real life partner talking about another girl. I would do what Lisa did. I would explode. I probably wouldn't hit someone, but I would break down.
It's very sick. I was also like trying to think about, I'm like, why did the queer ultimatum seem more stable and like it was still unhinged, but it just like seemed a little bit less insane. And I think it's because like by the time it got to, so we get to the decision where they're like choosing who their like partner is going to be. We have Brian and Lisa not present at the sit down. We have Alex and Kat. She's a nurse. He's a quote entrepreneur and she wants to marry him. And he's like, you're too like quiet and passive
soft
for me.
Spoken and you're not smart enough for me. Basically like
he's like abusive basically.
He is the real villain of the show, and we'll get into that.
1,000%, and number one flaw being how his top lip is so short and thin, and it looks disgusting to me. And then we have Roxanne and Antonio, who I'm just like, okay, so you guys just like want to be reality stars, like
yes,
they are going to go on every like If
Roxanne is a housewife, like Andy, please add her to wherever she belongs. They're in like South, like make a North Carolina franchise for her.
Totally. And like, I think Antonio kind of is like similar, but like he's just a little bit too dim to like really.
That's the kind way of saying it.
Bring the drama. So we have them, and then we have Trey and Raya. That's Raya who was talking to Brian, and Trey who wants to marry her and like is very Christian and sweet seeming. And then we have Ryan, female, and her college sweetheart, James.
High school sweetheart. High school They've been sweetheart. Together for 7 years.
Sorry, James. High school sweetheart, James. They're like 22 and have been together more than I could ever imagine being with someone. And
but they've never lived together. And the only time they've spent alone is not alone or something. There's something about how they've never been unsupervised together, which made me so confused. I was like, so are we having sex or not?
I know. And also, like, she doesn't know anything about him. Like, he's like, I'm afraid to, like, tell her anything about my actual life.
I know. Like, and I was like, 7 years?
That is crazy. I set 7 minutes and it's hard for me to keep in, like, my core childhood wound. I'm like, all right, listen, you and I have known each other a long time. So you need to know how I work and why. You, right?
Don't answer that. I'm going to keep going anyway.
I know. And so, like, anyway, so they're at the decision table. And then, of course, we have good old classic. Actually, at the decision table, just Nick was there. Vanessa was not present. But and there Nick was no there. Mention
Vanessa
of that.
Vanessa was probably off taking care of one of their million kids. But Nick makes a point of saying Lisa and Brian are not here. We invited them. They said no. Lisa requested a pregnancy test. At this point, I was in. I was like, thank you, Lord Jesus.
Jerry Springer, 1,000%.
And the test came back positive.
That's how he literally said it. That's exactly how he said it.
It was incredible. I was hooked from then. And we have footage of Lisa telling Brian that they're having a baby. And it was actually very sweet.
It was. If she hadn't physically assaulted him
in the same episode,
I would have been rooting for that.
Past episode, it would have been easier maybe to be excited. But I was still very excited for them. So to dance around, it becomes these three couples, all who switch partners nearly directly. And it was fascinating. I mean, and when I say nearly directly, I mean, it was perfectly synchronized. So Ryan with two N's ends up with Trey. Trey's girlfriend, Raya, ends up with Ryan's boyfriend, James. I thought this was a very interesting switch up because Ryan with two N's, female, Southern, Christian, and Trey, very Christian, end up together. They had both issued the ultimatum, meaning they both wanted to get married. They have more fun than I've had in a very long time. They seemed like they were genuinely so happy together, as it didn't seem like they had a lot of chemistry. It seemed more of like friendship based, but they seemed like best friends hanging out. Mainly, I don't, like, Trey looks so young to me. I just don't get, like, a sexual vibe from him. Like, there's something so inherently, like, dorky about him.
I think, like, they're really sweet. Like, I don't know. I'm rooting for them, though. I think they're so cute. And I feel like her friends were, like, well, I think her friends and family are over James big time. Because they meet Trey for seemingly, like, 5 minutes. And they're like,
wow. And they're like, we love you. You're so much better. Yeah,
they're like,
Ryan's so much happier.
She's never been this way. By the way, Ryan is so stunningly beautiful, but
it's shocking.
Why with the raspberry lip color? It's the worst lip color.
It's not doing great favors for her, no.
It's not right. It's just one thing that's not right, and it's bothering me. But I think they're cute and sweet, but mostly I just think like Ryan needs help. And then when we get the window into James, that is some darkness. That is some dark.
It's uncomfortable. Raya Trey admits later when the guys get together, which is already like a bachelor. I'm sorry, which is already like a bachelor episode that, you know, we'll never get again because that franchise is dead, or a housewives episode with the husbands. Yes. But Trey says, oh, well, Raya called me crying, saying I'm worried James wants to have sex with me, which is so if someone said that to me, I probably would leave the country, walk into the ocean. If they said the person who's living with you called me crying, worried that you wanted to have sex with them, that would, you know, probably ruin my life.
That would be hard.
James, Raya is basically like, why won't you hold my hand? Why won't you hug me? Why won't you give me affection? James, dead faced with the creepiest disposition ever, is like, well, marriage to me is having sex in the shower. Marriage to me is making love. I want to sleep naked next to someone. He's clearly like so attracted to Raya and at the same time so cold. And that mixture is so, that combination is so bizarre to me. But I think that this kind of man, and I understand that he later opens up about incredibly serious trauma, which I think is very brave. And at the same time, I don't think we owe anyone our partnership if they don't treat us well, period.
I agree. Like, I felt really bad for him, especially when we meet his mom, the most sinister character in reality television history, who is like, oh, you get to see another swinging dick around here and get distracted? All right, yeah. Well, and you
that
think
is unfortunately verbatim.
She's literally like laughing like, oh, so she's you like, want to start a family.
I care about money, I think. I didn't say, do you want to be close to your grandpappy?
I know. It was really like scary.
I unfortunately identified with her in terms of caring about money. Like I was like, I do unfortunately have that perspective as well. But
Carolina, but don't end up like that. I'm scared.
That is me in like 2 years.
Okay, but also I agree with Ryan when they had that 3 a.m. fight, which like sadly I'm horrified to admit, like I really relate to this where you're like in a relationship where you literally will fight until 3 a.m. Like these are the types of relationships that I needed to go to therapy so I would never end up in again, where it's like, oh, now it's 3 a.m. and we're still talking, or oh, we were supposed to be at the dinner party an hour ago, but we're still in the car fighting. Oh, OK, we were supposed to. I missed 8 calls from my friend because this really important thing happened, but I was in a fight. You know what I mean? Like these intense like battle royales. So they're having one of those kind of arguments until 3 a.m. And Ryan says, like, she's like, I've like lost so much of myself to this relationship and I've given so much. But at a certain point, I understand you have PTSD, but you have to do something about it. Like you have to move forward and get better because I can't like take care of that for you forever. And I thought that was such a mature stance to have when you're literally 22. Taylor Swift was dressing up like hipsters and making fun of her exes.
Wearing a fedora. She says, he says, well, it's up to me what I do with my PTSD, basically. And she says, well, it affects my life. And I think that's something that, like, when I was her age, when I was really young, I was in a relationship with someone who was extremely hurt by their past. And so I really took that on as, like, this is something, like, I gave them so much extra credit. And at the same time, it's like, how many allowances are you going to make? How much are you going to give of yourself, like she's saying, to someone who's not willing to do the work? And I think you really, you know, helped me understand this, not to speak for you, but like when you were in a relationship with someone who said that they couldn't give you, you know, what you needed because you were in a dying, you know, because they were traumatized. And you said, well, you know, like my closest friends all suffer from PTSD. And I don't mean that. I don't think everyone does. We just happen to have, you know, known people who have been through shit. And like,
the way you said that made it sound like my closest friends all have PTSD. I mean, they're friends with me. Like, that's hard.
We all have trauma from being friends with Devin. I just mean that, like, we know people who have been through a lot. And I have never used that as an opportunity to lash out at a significant other.
1,000%.
If anything, my fault isn't kind of, not that I've been a martyr, but I've been too scared to let you know, like partners know how much pain I'm in because I feel like it's unattractive or it's not cute or it's not fun. And that's something that I have to like work on more, as being open to being vulnerable, because it's the only way of really being in love.
No, and like I was in a relationship with someone for years who like had lost someone close to him, and okay, that's fine, but said that he wasn't willing. He literally said, he's like, I'm not willing to like work through it, and I'm not willing to talk about it, and I don't ever want to like bring it up. And that might be an immature stance, but, and I'm like, okay, first of all, like, sorry, it is an immature stance to say you're never going to work through or talk about something. And second of all, like, then you can't be in a relationship. Like, that's what frustrates me, I think, especially recently with men, is I'm like, and I guess I shouldn't generalize, with, especially recently with people in relationships, is like, okay, if you don't want to work through anything, that's fine. Then do not give anyone ever the idea that you are willing and able to be a partner, because you're not at all. Like, you are not at all. If you can't look at the hardest things about your past, present, or future, then you are not able to be in partnership with another person. I would say even as a friend, like, how are you supposed to show up for someone when your head is under the sand? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I want true romance.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Check the backseat. Check the backseat.
All right, come here.
Check the backseat.
Gets in your head, right? Good. Because every year, dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat of a car by a parent or caregiver. All never thought it could happen to them. But with changes in routines, distractions, or a sleeping child, it can happen to anyone. Parked cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. So get it in your head.
Check the backseat.
A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
No, I think it's something that like I truly struggle with in terms of my own. There's parts of my own life that I've even said, like, I'm unwilling to go through this right now. I'm unwilling to get over this right now. And that admission, and I'm saying this totally knowingly, and it's something that I was discussing as recently as this morning, makes it impossible to be in a relationship.
Yeah.
You have to be willing to work on yourself, or else you are going to have to numb parts of yourself that are just like these very serious, real parts of yourself. It's just impossible to get close to someone if you're not willing to do some work. So I can't help but root for Ryan and James because I like Ryan so much. But James has this, and I want to talk about Alex too. Alex too, who's the guy with the gross upper lip, who I actually think is pretty handsome. But
what? Oh my god, I hate him.
I don't like him either. I hate him, and I hate the way when he's. I actually hate when he speaks. But James's quiet sort of demeanor is not introspective. It's not interesting. It's not vulnerable. I'm just over that. I'm over, like, you have to open up. And Raya was like, I completely didn't get an experience out of, like, a trial marriage with you because you were so distant.
Yeah, and also, like, she's talking in circles with him And by the way, there's a common denominator of talking in circles, and it's him. Like, he like can't get anywhere because he won't admit that he's like wrong or not like seeing something, or he won't like even have the awareness to be like, yes, the fact that I'm
a dick.
He's a dick. But like, yeah.
The things Raya, he says to her when he's like, let me finish my sentence. And then like Ryan leaves the room and he's like, I'll finally get to speak now that you're in there. And I'm just like.
It's also like Raya was just asking for like a little bit of like, again, she doesn't want to have sex with him. She just wants like, oh, like something like cute and fun. Hold hands, like give some sort of anything. And also the one time I have been in support of Vanessa Lachey's behavior is when at the switchback time when James is like, yeah, so as soon as, because James at one point steps out and calls his brother or his friend or something and is like, yeah, as soon as I saw Ryan like talking to these other guys, I realized like, wow, she could like pull any guy she wants. And now I'm kind of like confused. And Vanessa's like, really? So you weren't willing to like commit to her for 7 years, and just because she spoke to other men, now you're like, you know what I mean? It's just so fucking shallow and stupid. And you can see with both Ryan and Trey, what they have in common is like they really love their partners, but they also really value partnership. So they're like really trying to get to know each other and like understand each other and be there for each other. And then they're also trying to love and understand their partners, but they're also trying to take care of themselves. Like, they definitely took the experiment the most seriously, as opposed to people like Alex and Roxanne, who
I'm kind of obsessed with Roxanne, unfortunately.
I'm obsessed
with her. She's giving us Erica Jane vibes.
Her being immediately like, my ex was like this, my ex was like that. Like, the mom, Alex's mom, apparently calling Kat, which I am obsessed with that, like,
yes,
move
of love.
Saying like Roxanne was talking about Antonio, like she's already moved on. And Roxanne's like, that's a lie. I'm like, you literally said my ex was like this. Every time you spoke about him was like, yeah, my ex used to make me like think that I couldn't be ambitious, but I'm not like that anymore. My ex used to make me think I didn't want to get married. It's like, wait, from 2 days ago, you mean?
Okay, so yeah, Roxanne is immediately in. And I want to talk about this switch up a little bit. Roxanne is dating Antonio, and all we know about him is that he's a, I'm sorry, nothing going on upstairs. He's a conspiracy theorist who loves YouTube videos.
When she's like, yeah, I just don't care about conspiracies.
She's like, I actually hate that shit. Which again, I was like, okay, this is when I love Roxanne.
And Kat was like, I think it's cute that he's passionate about it. I'm like, what?
It's so dark. So Roxanne and Antonio split up for the ultimatum. Antonio wants to marry her. She doesn't want to get married. I don't think I've ever heard someone say grind or hustle more. She's like, I'm just on the grind. I'm hustling. I'm an entrepreneur. All I care about is work. And they, Kat, who is one of the meeker people I've ever seen in my life. I didn't say, like, and it's nothing bad about her. She's just extremely shy, it seems like. I don't know how she got on reality television. Her and Alex, who seems incredibly arrogant, split up, and they all switch partners. So Antonio and Kat both had initially offered the ultimatum. Basically, both of them like their partners more than their partners like them. They just seem stuck together. Like, they have clearly no interest in, you know, even talking, really. Kat is like trying her best because she's a very nice person. But Antonio is basically just talking about how he doesn't have any money. And he's like obsessed with Roxanne. Alex and Roxanne date. They are getting along so well in the beginning. I think that they are going to like end up together. They're so flirty. They're like holding each other's arms. There's something in the air. And then Roxanne slowly starts to turn on him. And I actually really enjoyed watching this, where she at first is talking so much about like Alex in front of when all the girls get together in front of Kat that I felt so bad. Kat looks like she's literally going to get physically sick because this like girl who has gotten so much filler that she does unfortunately look 65, even though she's probably like 28, is talking about like the like romantic vibes between her and Kat's boyfriend. Apologies if you're getting lost. This is just the nature of the show. And then Roxanne is like, Okay, I think Alex is a liar. Like, he said to my parents he opens up car doors for me, and he doesn't. And sometimes I catch him sleeping when he says he needs to be working. Then the boys get together, and Alex tells Antonio, you are Roxanne's whipping boy, I think, and I don't think she respects you. She doesn't respect you. Antonio loses his mind. I mean, unfortunately, again, this is true. Like, she has said so much, like, unforgivable shit about this guy, about, like, that he doesn't have, like, a goal, that he, like, isn't a hard worker, that all this stuff. But she basically freaks out at Alex for telling Antonio that she doesn't respect him. And they have a fight where you suddenly realize that Alex is the villain. He may have been right about saying that, like, she doesn't respect Antonio, but she's basically like, you are not a good partner. You don't help me clean. And he's like, whatever. Sometimes I don't help you clean. And he at one point goes, just stay in your lane.
Yeah. And also, like, I think it was so true. Like, okay, so the one thing I do love Roxanne in this moment that you're describing. The one thing that bothers me is, like, okay, so yes, now she's like coming to be there for Kat, where she's like, okay, he doesn't respect you. I think he like walks all over you. I think he takes advantage of you. He doesn't realize how much you do for him and whatever. He takes you for granted. But when they were at the decision table, Alex was basically tearing down Kat's personality in front of him. Everyone, he's like, yeah, she's just like not challenging for me. Like, it's just, yes, you know, it's not stimulating. And then Kat even speaks up and is like, just so everyone knows, like, I didn't realize there was a personality problem here. Meaning, like, he never once voiced that to me.
And she was like, you should look into that.
Yeah. And Roxanne does the same thing. And then kind of like, it's kind of like her and Alex are like the villains running away, like, haha, our stupid partners. And now she's trying to be on Kat's side. But it's a little bit like too little too late for me.
I still liked how she was like, I bet you talked to Kat like that.
Yeah.
Like, and I do, she was like, that's how you talk to her, though. Yeah.
She calls him out. Yeah, she calls him out. And she does, like, say what she wants and needs. Like, and she called him out, like, when they were going to meet her parents. And she's like, oh, you're not going to open the door for me? Like, that's how I need to be. That's how I am doing better.
I think that's hot. I really do.
I've been doing better on dates with, like, what my move is to now just be like, I don't feel well, I'm going home, or like, I'm leaving early. But I need to call out the behavior and be like, really?
I had a guy forget I was in an Uber with him and shut the door in my face as he got out of it.
Yep.
And I've also had a guy forget that I was coming into the Airbnb we were sharing together and shut the door in my face to the Airbnb. And funny enough, yes, it was the same gentleman.
Gentleman is a generous term, people. Yeah. And also, like, I just want to start being like, the second any man ever tries to explain music to me, that's like my biggest red flag right now, is I'm like, any man's commentary on music, if it's not like, oh, I don't care and cool, Taylor Swift seems great, then I'm like, we are absolutely done here. And I'm going to start calling it out and being like, Roxanne. So meanwhile, this drama unfolds. Roxanne is confronting Alex. He like has nothing to say for himself and is like, okay, like totally gaslighting her. Meanwhile, Kat tries to confront Antonio, but like in her way, which is her being like, are you doing okay? And he's like, no, I'm not doing okay, Kat. I'm not doing okay. And she's like, so I think it's kind of weird because like Alex's mom called me and said that Roxanne is talking about you like she's no longer with you. And he's like, Alex is a liar and a shitbag, and his mom is too. And she's like, don't call him a shitbag, and like, why would his mom lie? Anyway, Antonio ends up running down the street in the middle of the night, sprinting.
This I actually kind of liked. I was like, oh, this is what I'm looking for.
I know. I kind of am looking for that.
It's unhinged. It's unhinged.
It's unhinged, but we maybe are looking for that. Meanwhile, what we end up with is the switchback ceremony, and that's where we get unhinged Vanessa back. That's where we get... Like, this is the thing. I'm like, the fact that Vanessa, she is on air on television for a cumulative 31 minutes, the entire year. These small moments put together on Love is Blind and Ultimatum. And she cannot regulate her emotions.
It's true.
For 1 second. Like, she starts crying because James said he, like, doesn't know if he wants to open up to Ryan. And she starts crying and is like literally like violently wiping tears from her face because that's how much she's crying and going, the shit that I had to get through to be the best version of myself for this man, the shit that I had to
I'm
go
like,
through.
Nick Lachey must be amazing in bed. I'm sorry. There's only the, how do you stay married to him for so long?
No, but
how did
I don't,
he like bag these like amazingly beautiful like women? It's no, astonishing.
But Carolina, she's insane. That's how. It's not because he's good in bed. It's because she's insane. I don't think he's good in bed. He slept with like two people ever.
That's true.
And first of all, and second of all, like she is completely off her rocker. Like who, where else is she going to go? She even said she's like, and I tried to give that information to other men, but they weren't the man I was going to marry because they couldn't take it. I'm like, so the other men were stable and were like, okay, I'm actually good. Like, bye. And Nick was the first dunce to come along and be like, okay, sure. She is very much not well. And she personalizes every single situation on the show. Like,
that's
I
true.
Feel like, yeah.
She's always like, as someone who gave the ultimatum, which I'm sorry. And this is not like, I could totally see myself giving an ultimatum one day. And I don't think it's like a bad thing to do to be like, if this isn't moving forward, then like, I need to move on with my life. I don't think that's like crazy or anything, but it's not something that I would go bragging about.
I know she, every season she's like, I never thought I was going to be the girl that gave the ultimatum. And I was, and I'm like, you didn't think you were like, you're couldn't be more of that. But yeah, I mean, I think ultimatums are like not encouraged by therapists. I think it's like more like just leave if someone's not giving you what you need.
Right.
But I also think, yeah, I probably will do that. I mean,
but I'll looking at the trajectory of my life, I can see that in my future.
Yeah, like I'm not like going to be unself-aware like Vanessa. I'm going to say I am very likely to give an ultimatum. I'm very likely to go through all this shit to be the best woman that I can be.
I'm very likely to, when someone is telling me a story about their dating problems, I direct it back towards myself and be like, okay, well, when I was going through it.
Hysterically crying. I know.
And bursting into tears. Yeah, I can see that.
It's just so confusing. It's like, I just like, don't think this is the role of host at all. Like, it's like, what shows has she been watching? The only thing I can compare it to is like Tyra being like, we were rooting
yes.
for you. We were all rooting for you.
I miss Tyra.
But Tyra gave
Tyra's pranks.
More personality. Yeah, she had pranks. She had fake seizures. She had more going on than Vanessa, for sure. Phobia of dolphins, like willingness to dress up in a fat suit.
I am
suit.
Scared of dolphins.
Yeah.
Raise your hand if you are scared. I was scared. I had a PA do that to me on set, do that to a group of people on set once. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen. A PA goes, okay, everyone, that was scary. Raise your hand if you were scared.
That's actually
I was
genius.
Like, I actually hope to hire you as my best friend.
And did you?
No. Because
okay.
You won't quit the dang job.
Oh, damn. Okay, well, so
can't
that was
wait
amazing.
To see
yeah, they
next
switched
week's.
Back. Listen, we're on our hands and knees just like Jesus Christ because
yeah.
next
fixing
week,
our toilet.
Wednesday is when we find out what is going to happen. Are they going to marry? Are they going to move on? Do you have any predictions?
I hope Raya moves on because she did already confess that Trey wasn't pleasing her sexually.
I forgot about that. I forgot
like,
about that.
Well, so the thing is that I can please him during sex. He can't please me. So that's a pretty big issue.
That was tough.
So I hope she walks away, and it breaks my heart to hear that about our sweet man, Trey. I think Ryan and James are going to be engaged. I don't think that maybe is for the best. Again, they're 23. They've never lived together. I think that but mistakes will be made. I think Kat and Alex are going to get married. I hope for happiness for Kat. I think Roxanne is going to say yes to Antonio for television purposes. But I think
yes.
they're going to break up once they watch this show.
Yes, agree.
But we'll see if my predictions stand.
Listen, tune in next week. We're gonna do a little post-op discussion.
Post-op.
I guess next week will be like the ultimate. Or no, it will probably be next week is the proposals and the reunion. So,
oh, thank God.
Yeah, so that's
I needed
be
a reunion
time.
Like episode 3. I was like, I need to see these people together now.
I know. When something like drama like that happens and you're like, okay, now officially it doesn't matter until I can hear them talk about it after they've watched it. Like the hypocrisy.
You should have seen how fast my fingers moved when I looked up Lisa and Brian now after I found
out they
were
pregnant. Wait, what did you find? What did you find? Spoiler alert.
That they're doing great. And that she was like, it was really hard to watch the episode where I hit him and like how crazy I was being. But she was like, we talked through it, but it was still really hard, which, yeah, I cannot imagine. I can't imagine because I can't imagine having cameras follow me when I went berserko banana town in the past.
At least she had a hot outfit on. That's what I kept thinking. That's I was like, honestly, she does look really good, even though this is really bad.
I know.
Yeah, that's all you can hope for sometimes.
I love you, Devin.
Love you, Carol.
All I ever wanted was a little love. I want true romance, it's true. True romance, it's so romantic. Love me, baby. Don't leave me hanging, I want true romance.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.